The Unruffled Rhythm of Clouds Below Your Knees by Ray Lynch signals Thursday, 10 p.m. and time for So What's Your Story? The coolest place on your dial because it's the only program originating in Houston that is devoted entirely to storytelling right here on listener-sponsored, award-winning KPFT 90.1 FM. I'm your host, Dr. Hank Rubicek, Professor of Communication Studies at the University of Houston downtown, with Roxy Russell working the boards. You know, journalist Gail Lamette Buckley, daughter of Lena Horne and once married to Sidney Lumet, declared, "Family faces are magic mirrors. Looking at people who belong to us, we see the past, present, and future." Of course, some faces of family make us cringe, cry, or feel generally creepy, as well as supported, uplifted, and majestic. Other tales of our kin are downright warm and fuzzy, and those who tell these memorable stories best are the ones who own them like heirlooms, crystallize in their minds, and lodge deeply in their hearts, like tonight's guest teller, Courtney Hoyt. A fourth-generation Houstonian, Courtney graduated from UT Austin and now works as the manager of patient experience for Harris Health System. She's a member of the Junior League of Houston, a docent at Holocaust Museum Houston, and is doggy parent to Grover, a rescue Bichon. The punctuation mark for tonight, however, is that Courtney is a storytelling lover and listens to a bunch of storytelling shows on radio. Ours better be among them. I keep asking her and threatening her, and I think it is. And Roxy discovered her at the Moth and was impressed enough to recommend her as a gift. So if Courtney sucks, we're going to blame Roxy. That's what we're going to do, right? Courtney, how are you doing?
I'm great.
Isn't this great? Aren't you excited already?
I'm very excited.
I know you were nervous, but already you're just hypnotizing us, right? You're mesmerized into oblivion. Tell us what it means to be to manage a patient's experience. That's interesting.
So I work with a team. We deal with all the things that influence a patient's perception of their care experience. Mm-hmm. We focus on non-clinical details like how to find where you need to go, staff courtesy, mm-hmm. and dealing with complaints.
Okay, so if we complain, we call you.
Exactly.
Yeah. You call this a hospital? This is food?
Oh, where's my vanilla pudding? I've heard it all, believe me.
Okay.
In particular, uh-huh. I study survey data, and I look for areas that can be improved.
Very good. Yeah, you know, good communication really has a great deal to do with the healing process. It does.
That's very true.
Imagine. And I know that you deal with a lot of that. And it's good to know because patients do have complaints and sometimes they're actually legitimate.
And we need to hear them because if we can't fix it, you know, that somebody else might have the same problem. So
now, what compelled you to go to the Moth?
Well, this will make my friends and family laugh, but I actually do have a fear of public speaking, and I love storytelling, like you said. I like to listen to it, and I just thought it was something I could never do, and so I decided to do it.
What terrifies you most about public speaking? What are you so apprehensive about?
I have no idea. That's a great question.
Yeah.
I should work on that.
It's fear of something, right?
I think maybe just fear of failure, general fear.
Well, you know, it's the number one fear in life. It is. It really is the number one fear in life, which would suggest that people would rather die than give a eulogy at their own funeral, right?
Exactly.
But people are afraid of things. You're right. And I have been apprehensive all of my life. I tell my students all the time, and this is true, if I'm not nervous the first day of a semester, it's time for me to resign because I need to have that level of apprehension or else you wouldn't care.
Exactly.
Right? Absolutely. You know, the Moth is at Studio Live for listeners who don't know. It's a great venue on Richmond, and I bribe Roxy and Shannon to recruit great tellers at that specific venue, and there's a theme every month. You put your name in the proverbial hat if you want to, and you're selected for a story, and you were, of course, that night. If you're selected, you're given about 5 minutes, mm-hmm. right, to prep. So the story episode that you tell has to be tight, thoughtful, and very engaging. So you really have to be a good storyteller,
yes.
genuinely. You've got to be very, very focused.
There were every great word, people there.
Every word has to count. How did you do?
I survived.
You survived.
I think I did pretty well. Yeah. I think they score you. I think I came in fourth. So
and the night that you were there, the theme was karma.
Mm-hmm.
And you told a story about your Uncle Jake.
Yes.
When I first read that, I thought you meant Uncle Jack, and I couldn't help thinking about Uncle Jack and Breaking Bad.
Right.
Right? What do you say, Hank? You think I should let you go? Yeah, that's all I kept thinking. So I'm glad it was Uncle Jake.
Yes.
Because Uncle Jacks are just too difficult for me to listen to nowadays after watching him. Terrible, 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 terrible villain. And an incident occurred that occurred with the land commissioner in 1966.
1969. Yes.
Excuse me.
No worries.
Tell us the story.
Okay, so this story is about something that all Texans are very familiar with, a crooked politician. So,
and that only occurs in Texas. That
well,
politicians only occur here.
Well, I would hope, but unfortunately, we do a good version of them, I think. So in 1969, there was no antiquities law here in Texas, but a company from Indiana found a Spanish treasure galleon that had sunk off the coast of what is now Padre Island, and they began to bring up treasure. It was estimated to be worth about $1.2 million at the time, but some of the objects were basically priceless artifacts. The company was not taking precautions or following established archaeological processes, so valuable information was being destroyed as they pulled out the treasure. So, of course, when the public found out about this, it was really a huge scandal. And many said the treasure should belong to the state of Texas and not a carpetbagger company from Indiana. Jerry Sadler, he was the land commissioner in 1969, and he struck a deal with the company to split the proceeds from the treasure between the state of Texas and the company. Now, his enemies suggested that he was getting kickbacks from the company to help them keep the bulk of the treasure. A committee hearing was convened to question Sadler about the deal, but he refused to cooperate. So I don't know Jerry Sadler, or I didn't know him or his family, but I did some research on him. I wanted to learn more about him. And one of the few things I found out about him that gave any indication of what he was like personally was in that same year, 1969, five of his legislative staff quit when he outlawed miniskirts, sideburns, and coffee breaks in what the newspaper called a personal crusade against moral decay. So just a very nice guy. Anyway, the next character in the story is someone I do know well, Jake Johnson. He was a state representative at the time, and he had quite a reputation as a prankster. He was my great uncle and really one of my favorite relatives. Now, just to give you an idea of what kind of guy he was, one article I found said that there were two Representative Jake Johnsons in the Texas House at the time, Fat Jake and Crazy Jake, and my great-uncle was the crazy one. He taught his little rat terrier, Sydney, to growl and snap anytime anyone said Reagan. So, big hit at parties. Anyway, he is quoted as saying that his greatest talent and the one he most enjoyed was giving his enemies ulcers. So, but more seriously, heritage and history were very important to Uncle Jake. And one of the reasons is he was the youngest child of General H.H. Johnson, who served as the military governor of Rome in World War II. Jake's two older brothers followed in their father's footsteps and became officers in the army. They were big, strong men, but Jake couldn't. He'd contracted polio at 9 years old, and he was left disabled for life. In fact, he was very physically frail. So he channeled his passion and innate sense of justice into politics instead. So, as I said, he was a state representative, and when this was happening, he was really angry about what he saw as the theft of the heritage and history of Texas. But he was a politician, too, and he saw an opportunity. So he called up some reporters, and he got them to come with him to Jerry Sadler's office. He made a big show. He asked Jerry Sadler to see the paperwork on the deal with the salvage company. And when Jerry refused, Jake called for his impeachment or his resignation. And as I'm sure many a person has wanted to do but never actually acted on, Jerry Sadler reached out, wrapped his hands around Jake's throat, and began to throttle him. The reporters, I guess not knowing what else to do, put the microphone up to Jake's face and asked for a comment. And his comment was, "The land commissioner is choking me." And it just totally made all the headlines. I mean, papers all across Texas reported this. It made the news. So poor Jerry Sadler, his career was effectively over at this point. It had already been tarnished by the treasureship scandal, and now he looked like a lunatic in front of the whole state. He actually went on to choke another person later, another reporter. And he never won another election. Yeah. But the good thing is, the publicity helped get an antiquities law passed in Texas that summer in a special session. And one more note, sort of after note to the story, Jerry Sadler passed away in 1982. And like many elected officials, heroes, and other famous Texans, he was buried in the Texas State Cemetery in Austin. So that's where Ann Richards is buried. And Stephen F. Austin. Right. So Uncle Jake began scheming, and he went and reserved the plot directly next to Jerry Sadler. Like, I cannot believe they let him do this, but he reserved it. And he lived for like more than 20 years after Jerry Sadler died. And he made his family promise that after he passed away, that they would build his gravestone, his monument, higher than Jerry Sadler, because his final eternal act was to look down on Jerry Sadler and give him hell for the rest of all eternity.
Right.
So that's karma.
Crazy Jake. Yeah, I have a feeling that your uncle Crazy Jake has done several things that the term crazy. Yeah.
Yes.
So he wanted to be buried next to Jerry Sadler.
Yes, and he
just
is.
And he is. Right. Doesn't want to be buried. He doesn't want to be buried next to a relative, a spouse.
Now, there's room for a spouse.
That is amazing. I mean, talk about anger and grudges.
Right. Huh? I think it was also more that he knew it'd be a great story.
Yeah.
And he told great stories.
Yeah. So this, he knew that you would be telling the story.
Oh, I'm sure he did.
Yeah. You know, sometimes I joke around with my students. I tell them, you know, if you lie to me, eventually I'll catch up with you. It may not be now, but 219 years ago, I'll see you someplace and I'll say, you remember me? You had me a couple of centuries ago and I was really fair. I was that fair professor, and you lie to me, and I just want you to know that I've never forgotten that, and I've really felt bad about that, why you would do that to me, and I just want you to know that I want you to feel guilty for the rest of your life in eternity.
Right. I think Uncle Jake would approve.
Uncle Jake would have liked that.
Yes.
He would have liked that. Now, what's wrong with the coffee break? Coffee breaks. Why was that?
You know, Jerry Sadler sounds like the biggest killjoy in all the world.
Honest to God, a coffee break? Are you kidding me?
I know.
Yeah. Do you believe in karma?
You know, I like to believe in karma.
Yeah. Why would you like to believe in karma?
Because, you know, there's so many people out there who really deserve something bad to happen to them. That's horrible.
Sometimes, but karma's not always bad.
Or something good. Yes. Right.
You met your husband.
I did.
He's a great guy.
He is.
Was there anything karma-centered around that, do you think? We're going to find out more about that in a few minutes. But anything at all?
Well, I'm glad that I think I married up.
Yeah.
Let me put it that way.
Married up?
Yes.
Well, I'm glad he's here to listen to that one, because rarely do husbands get that kind of a comment. Absolutely. You know, author Anthony Brandt exclaimed, other things may change, but we start and end with the family, and it's reinforced by guest teller Courtney Hoyt. On So What's Your Story? On Leon, listener-sponsored KPFT 90.1 FM. Houston and 89.5 on the island and 90.3 in Livingston. This is Hank Rubicek with Roxy Russell and Shannon McKerchie. Courtney, the Junior League is all about placing women volunteers of the highest quality and rewarding positions. And I love hearing the story. You shared this with me the other day when we spoke on the phone. And I believe this is how you became involved with the Holocaust Museum.
This is really
a great story in itself. Tell us a little bit about that.
So I've joined the Junior League several years ago. I mean, it's a great networking opportunity for women in Houston, and I love to volunteer, and they have great relationships with all these community partners. And my first active year, I chose the Holocaust Museum. I love history. I love World War II, and I ended up falling in love with what I was doing, all the other volunteers there, and I'm still there 4 years later.
It is a great place, though.
It is.
It truly is. And you're going to be working there a while, right?
I am. I'm the chair this year, and I'm a docent, and I will continue to be a docent long after my junior league term.
We've actually talked quite a bit about the Holocaust Museum on the show, because we've had people who work there on the show telling stories, and we've had several other people, both ministers and rabbis, tell stories about survivors and about stories that surround the entire element of human strength that comes right. with being a survivor. And I know that you felt this meeting so many of these people.
Yes.
And I have too. And you know, as I shared mm-hmm. with you, my mother and my grandparents were survivors. My mother very much alive and well. My grandfather died in 1979 and my grandmother in 1981. And it really is a very special place. People sometimes think of it as a religious institution, and it's not.
No.
It's really a place, it's a museum of consciousness.
Yes, I mean, we talk about prejudice and tolerance and
right.
hate mm-hmm. and not letting something like the Holocaust happen again.
Right, and it really is a place. It really is a place where we teach people how not to hate.
Right.
And I think that's an important thing, and that's an important message. And,
yes.
And it's also an integral part of so many stories we tell.
Yes.
It's a way of getting rid of some of these anecdotes of narrow-mindedness and prejudice.
Right.
And that's really wonderful. Roxy, let me just go to you for a second. I always ask you this, so here we go. In a few words, tell us what impressed you most about this young lady here when you heard her at the Moth. What do you look for?
That's honestly,
good, Roxy.
Okay.
That's good. Okay. You have to think about that. Yeah.
What I look for is first of all, a story.
Someone who buys you drinks. Other than
yes,
that.
Yes, so easy.
Yeah.
Okay. No, it's just for a story that has a beginning, middle, and end.
Uh-huh.
And what really hit me with you, yes. It was that your personality really shone through in your story. And it was a funny story, and it was about, you know, a weird coincidence in karma, but it was still your personality. I feel like kind of maybe outshone your story a little bit, because it was just fun. You made it fun. You made it interesting. And I like people who have their personality shine.
Interesting.
Through.
So, but no, this is a serious question. I know you think I'm going to be joking, but I'm not. Are you saying, because this is a good part, are you saying that sometimes a person's behavior, a person's personality can really be stronger than the story itself?
Yes, I think so, because, you know, people with strong personalities can make anything, you know, sound good.
Yeah.
And they know the right words to say, and they right. know, how, you know, what emphasis and, you know, everything that makes a good story, they put a little bit extra into
yeah.
it. So, and then it was just so relatable. You made it so relatable. You made it sound like it was my uncle, the great uncle,
yeah.
which wouldn't surprise me.
Well, the uncles that you have are far more crazy than that one. I can say
yes.
that one. Shannon, who's up next? Who's coming up next week, please?
Eduardo Lopez is
yes.
a friend of mine.
Nice young man. Nice
yes.
young man.
And he's a great local acting student. I saw his stage performance of Some Things You Need to Know Before the End of the World,
mm-hmm.
and we soon became good friends.
Yeah, you know, and we're going to spotlight him next week, because he really was terrific, just terrific. And we're so grateful that Shannon knows him, because he came to one of the Houston Storytellers monthly swaps last month, not this month, but last month. And he told a story about his estranged father. And it was absolutely riveting. And it was interesting, because he told the story at the end of the meeting, where we're all looking at our watches, ready to go. And he was awesome. And I just came up to him afterwards, and I said, don't go anywhere. And I totally ambushed him. So we're going to get him here next week. And I'm really looking forward to it. I really am. Now, Courtney, you told me that storytelling, in many ways, really does, it really did help you bring your husband together, right? It
yeah.
really did. And I didn't want you to tell me much about the story, because I kind of wanted to be surprised. But storytelling can do some pretty magical things. It can. And whenever we're sitting around talking to people about ourselves, not to overly simplify it, but we're telling stories about who we are.
Right.
Right? But tell us a story about how storytelling brought the two of you marvelous, marvelous people together.
All right. A story about storytelling.
He's from Cleveland.
He
and
is
I can
from
relate to
Cleveland,
that, but
yes.
we'll get him to really like it here more, I promise. Not in the summer, but.
Yeah, I'm still working on that. So, yes, we were introduced by a mutual friend, and we were friends for a long time before we started dating. And even when the stars aligned and it was clear that we were going to start dating, we ended up just hanging out a lot. The stars aligned.
What a
yes.
beautiful
karma.
Poetic. Yeah, that's great. When the stars aligned.
But we would spend a lot of time together.
That's so sweet.
And when we were just hanging out, Andrew is an amazing storyteller, and he has great stories. He would talk about summer camp, college in New England, mm-hmm. and especially about his family. So back in Cleveland, he has a huge family and a huge, huge group of family friends. And they love to get together and really just have a good time. They're pretty fun. And everyone tells these amazing stories, these unbelievably hysterical stories about particularly the grandparent generation, mm-hmm. but also our parents' generation. They're always self-deprecating. They're always funny, unexpected. And even if you've heard them like 1,000 times, you want to hear them again. So I realized as we were sort of in the courting phase that my family, while a bit more restrained, perhaps.
Courting Courtney. That must have been an interesting thing to say. Queen Courtney, Courtney. I'm courting Courtney.
I don't know.
Courtney is one who I'm courting.
Yes,
I did get it at about 10:20.
But anyway, so I realized that my family, we also related through storytelling, and we shared stories about Uncle Jake, of course, and his sister was my grandmother, Ma Mayer, and their father, Papa, who was the general in World War II, and he was the military governor of Rome, and he had these, so many great stories about that generation. And they entertain us, but they also made those of us telling them feel closer to them and also to each other. And it's like a clan telling their sacred histories, except our histories weren't just about war, but for example, my great-grandparents winning a jitterbug contest, or the time Papa fell out of a moving ambulance into the road. Just great stories,
well,
right?
It's a good thing the ambulance was there, right? The ambulance
well,
just took off.
Yeah. I'll let Andrew tell you that story sometime. How about that?
Fell out of an ambulance. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes. So we came from really different backgrounds. My family's mostly from Texas. The extended family is Catholic. Or grew up Catholic, at mm-hmm. least. Andrew's family is pretty WASPy. They're from Cleveland, yeah. but there's a lot of strong ties to New England. And our ancestors definitely fought on different sides of the Civil War, for sure. However, we both have this love of tradition and history and family. And when we met each other's families, it was like meeting characters from your favorite book. You knew all these great, you know, stories about them. In fact, at our wedding, Andrew made books for each side of the family. There were short biographies about every person who was coming or who was going to be there from my side.
How cool was that?
It was great. He put pictures. He even put, you know, references to stories that he'd told everyone so you would know that, oh, this is who it was. And, you know, he has an Uncle Courtney and an Aunt Lloyd, and it really made sure that my mom wouldn't accidentally, you know, mix them up. So anyway, it was very appreciated by everyone who was there because we really felt like we had already gotten to know each other
so
before
cool.
they
that
met.
Really, yes. Now when you talk about books, so we just put a like this makeshift little
it was a binder and it had, I mean, it was probably 40 or 50 pages long with the stories of our families, but
that is,
you know,
wonderful.
As a way of introducing the two sides.
Yeah, you know, stories, they it's not like sometimes when people think they date, it's almost like a job interview. You ask a question, you get a response. But when you tell a story, it's a whole different genre. It's a whole different tone, isn't it?
Exactly.
You become very enveloped in the other.
You feel like you might actually know something real about
isn't
the person.
Isn't that true? Yeah. You really might know something real. This is your host, Hank Grubachek, with Roxy and Shannon, loving every moment with guest storyteller Courtney Hoyt on So What's Your Story on KPFT 90.1 FM Houston or KPFT.org if you are listening online. But whatever channel you've chosen, we are very glad that you are here. Roxy, I mentioned the Houston Storytellers Guild just a moment ago, the best place in town to learn to tell and listen to stories and doing it around the most supportive, kindest folks in the world. Tell our listeners the when and the where of this place, please.
Hank, they meet on the third Tuesday of every month from 7 to 8:30 p.m. at the Multi-Service Center at 1475 West Gray. And everyone needs to check out the Houston Storytellers Guild's website at www.houstonstorytellers.org for updates and all the fun happenings.
And there's always a fun happening. Shannon, you were at the meeting last night. We had a meeting last night. What
yes, I certainly
about?
Was. I enjoyed it immensely.
Yeah.
There's some great stories.
Great stories.
No historical, and, but it made it its own little craft itself. It, you know, great stories I probably never will forget about Brazos, the arms of God.
Yeah, we had an interesting teller last night who was talking about the use of storytelling and teaching, and Yeah, it was certainly phenomenal. He told us about all sorts of things that we never knew about, and I don't think we are going to forget. There's no question about it. Absolutely. And I sure do hope, Shannon, I sure do hope that all the posting is coming up, and why don't you tell us a little bit about what's going on there?
Hank, I sure hope so that I'm actually getting, you know, like my work is actually going somewhere constructive. I'm posting background information about the week's guest tellers, information about storytelling news and events all over the world, fan comments.
And we're getting so many of them.
Yes.
We really are.
And responses.
No kidding.
And lots more.
I was joking at first, but people actually listen to us.
Yeah,
they even
do.
Roxy, yeah, Roxy bribes them, gives them a bag of M&Ms on the way, and I don't know what she does. But we have a lot of fans.
Yes, we
and
do.
And you have a lot to do with that. You two guys have a lot to do with it. But Shannon, you really do just a, you genuinely do just a magnificent job with that. And I'm so, so happy about that. And
why, thank
please
you.
Please visit us and be sure to absolutely like us on the way out.
Yes, sir.
Right, right, absolutely. Okay, so it's been said that families are like fudge, mostly sweet with a few nuts. Now, I need a one-word response from everybody here. Scooter's here. I might even ask him. Okay. Either a name or a relation of this question. Who is the nut in your family? I'll go first. My stepsister, Victoria Looseleaf. Have you got one?
I do. Hooter.
Hooter.
My father-in-law.
Hooter. Okay, Hooter. All right, next. Roxy?
Oh, my gosh. It's...
We're related, so you got plenty of them. Don't tell me you can't think of one.
Okay, I'm going to say... Oh gosh, I think I come from a family of nuts, so that's hard for me.
All of them? Okay, it's just one big bag full. Shannon, you got one?
My Uncle Johnny in Boca Raton.
Yeah, well, it's good to know that we love the family goofballs along with everyone else, because as contemplated by George Bernard Shaw, when our relatives are at home, we have to think of all their good points or it would be impossible to endure them, right? Right. Real quick, what kinds of stories did you grow up with, Courtney?
Well, definitely family stories.
Yeah.
I love to hear about the day I was born. I heard that a lot.
Ooh.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
From my grandmother. She was there.
Yeah, but a lot of family stories before
yes.
you went to bed?
No. I would read a lot. I am a reader, so I told myself stories.
A lot of fairy tales, folk tales?
Yes, lots of fairy tales,
kind of
yes.
Yeah. Terrific. That's wonderful. See, we're almost done. Isn't this amazing?
This has been so fun.
You're going to be a fan now?
Absolutely. I already
promise?
Am.
Yeah,
on
yeah.
Facebook.
Sure? Okay. All right. Thank you, Courtney Hoyt, for your wit, your humor, and your refreshing upbeat style. Very soothing stories.
I really do
appreciate that. You're a lot better than even you think you are. Can we get you to come back one day?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I really mean that, because we want some return folks.
Okay.
And you're one of them. Roxy and Shannon, you both always rock. Thank you. And to our listeners, it is all about you who continue to make So What's Your Story, Houston's original live story show, a truly great show. Don't dare, don't you dare move, because Scooter is up next with The Inner Side to complete the backside of this Power Hour at KPFT. Make 90.1 a part of every day and make it a habit to tune in every Thursday at 10 p.m. for So What's Your Story? And ease into the weekend right. You keep loving a great story and I'm going to keep bringing them to you. Be good to each other. I'm Dr. Hank reminding you that it is never too late to live happily ever after. Peace.